You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's get
this is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 1 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Numbers 800-919-3776. And as we've been saying all week, you better get in line early, man. You better call now and get in line because it's another busy day. And there's some stuff that you would think is headline stuff that Bart is probably going to be like pushed to the side. There's no doubt in my mind because we've got tons to get to, and I'm not going to waste any time.
Sports you and overdose. Overdose. I'm on a sports overdose.
It's great. There's so many places to go. But, you know, you and I generally at this time, we like to, like, you know, go back and forth a little bit. That's out. No, that's out. We didn't even do IG today because it was just too damn busy. So, again, 800-919-3776. And, of course, you can get us on Twitter, at Bart Hunt on Twitter, Instagram. And we didn't do IG Live today, so that didn't happen.
Going to do it live!
Let's go. Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, as the Knicks made it official today. And they just wrapped up a Zoom press conference, because that's the world we live in right now.
It's the first of many, right?
With Tom Thibodeau as the new head coach, Leon Rose, the team president, and the general manager, Scott Perry, all on the Zoom call with reporters. And there's plenty, obviously, to get through from there. Thibodeau will be on the K-Show at 3:30 today, so obviously nowhere else to go. Keep it locked in right here. You'll also see the press conference tonight, 7 o'clock on MSG as well. There's tons of coverage.
So they're going to re-air the
– well, no one else saw it.
But listen, it don't matter, because if you listen to the Bart and Han Show, all you have to do is listen to my main man, Alan, break it down piece by piece, bit by bit, forensic analysis going on right here with the cold words. I know you guys are used to hearing the Bart Scott BS translated when it comes to football. King Kong ain't got nothing on Alan. Shoe program, 24-hour lockdown. You can turn from every station that you're listening to and watching in the background. Alan, I want you to do what you do, baby. It's your time to shine. Please tell me what Leon was saying. Not on the surface, but below the surface. What's the coded messaging in some of the buzz phrases that you heard from Leon and Thibodeau?
So you're telling me you want an old school Han Solo narration of the press conference?
I want a straight up Han Solo, I'll be Chewbacca in the back, just cheering you on, buddy. I want to know, what did you get from those thoughts? Because nobody knows that organization like you. So you know what those words mean, if they mean what they mean on at face value, or if it's some type of coded language. I can't always hear all the coded language. I don't speak fluent Tibbs and Leon.
Han.
You do. So I'm going to learn and get my Rosetta Thibodeau stone later as I start to break down this physical and non-physical verbal communication. But I know you speak it fluently. That's your man's. What is he telling the people of New York?
All right. Now, usually when we do this, we're in studio, and I have the sound page and the board right next to me, and I could just press all the different. This is going to take some collaboration. I need Fordham's finest, Anthony Pusick, ready to go on the trigger. Oh, now, he's an octopus in there. I mean, he's got a million things going on right now.
Anthony,
and he snaps at you. He snaps at you, by the way. Yeah, you just, hey, by the way, can you give me his, I'm working on it. Okay, okay. All right.
Anthony, so, we make you famous with your Fu Manchu now. Either you're going to be Sugar, you're going
to
be
I need to know that AP is ready to go.
Either going to be Sugar, it, Anthony. And the fans and our listeners are going to be the ones to see if you in the back as Allen's directing and he's verbally pointing at you, uh-huh. even though you're not in the same place. When he tell you to hit those snares, you need to hit them damn snares, Allen.
Anthony, a lot of pressure on me.
Are you ready? Are you ready, Anthony?
Let's do it, boys.
All right, let's go.
Time.
All right, let's begin this. And I mentioned this earlier. We've talked about this. I tweeted it out as well. The one thing the Knicks did was they interviewed experienced candidates that, as Chris Canty, I love this Chris Canty phrase, has blood in the ground. And we're talking about Tom Thibodeau, 7 years an assistant coach under Jeff Van Gundy. Kenny Atkinson was an assistant coach and a New Yorker who grew up loving the Knicks. And Mike Woodson, who, as he's told me, I'm the last guy to put a damn banner in that building, right? He literally has told me that. So you're talking about people that care about the job, mean something to him, blood in the ground. So Tom Thibodeau, when he had his chance, his opening statement, that's exactly what he talked about.
Thank you, Scott, Leon, and Greg. I'd also like to thank Jim Dolan and William Wesley for giving me this great opportunity. In addition, I'd like to thank CAA, Howie Mnuchin, and Mike Levine, along with my agent, Spencer Brieger, for putting the deal together. Obviously, I'm very excited today to be here. This is a dream come true for me. This is my dream job. I've been there before. I have a great understanding of New York. I think we have the best city in the world. We have the best arena in the world, and we have the best fans.
Dream job. And we've heard other people say this.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of guys come in and talk about dream opportunity. Dream job is so much different. And all you need to know is just talk to people who have known Tom throughout his entire coaching career, his life. Grew up in New Britain, Connecticut. And even though that's a lot closer to Celtic country, he was a Knicks fan. His family was a Knicks fan. He was close. He obviously, the championship era meant a lot to him as a kid. This was something that, this job was special to him. Now, again, it's important that you hire somebody who knows what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah.
Again, I love David Fizdale. L.A. guy who coached in Miami. New York was different. And everybody says, I can handle it. I'm built for this. And yeah. then they go through it and they realize, like, damn, you people are crazy. And that's yeah. literally what you hear. So, you know, again, it's new to him. Jeff Hornacek, nicest guy in the world, was a good basketball player, a smart coach.
Yeah.
He's involved in, like, it's not just New York. It was also Phil Jackson in the damn triangle. And another guy that walked away going, damn, you people are crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Derek Fisher, zero experience. Played in L.A., Laker guy. Thinking, I'm tough. I can handle this. Had Phil in the triangle. Damn, you people are crazy. Go back. Isaiah Thomas, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I can handle this. I'm tough. Damn, you people are crazy. Mike D'Antoni. Same thing. Wait, they just forced Melo on me. This is not the way. Damn, you people are crazy. Like, this is what goes on.
Yeah.
All these people that came in thinking, I can handle this job. The last people with any type of success here, Mike Woodson, a number one pick of the Knicks, played here, understood New York when he got here, understood it. Just knew it already as a coach, understood it. Got to spend a year as an assistant coach, too. Understood it. All right, Jeff Van Gundy, once again, the guy from here. Okay, and was an assistant for a long time. Mm-hmm. Jeff was in New York long enough to understand how this machine works. So nothing fazed him. He had success here. Pat Riley, tough as nails. Where's he from? Schenectady. Even though he had success in L.A. as a coach,
yeah.
his roots were here, and he understood it. So you got to keep going back to that stuff. Anybody that had success here, even mild success, Rick Pitino, where's he from? Long Island, New York. That's where he's from. So he understands it. Blood in the ground is important in this job. I'm sorry, everybody. You can say all you want about how New York is not New York anymore. It still does matter with basketball. You've got to understand this place. So for Tom, he has that blood in the ground. It was the years he spent also as an assistant under Jeff Van Gundy in the 90s when they were having success. And oh, by the way, the Jeff Van Gundy tree, it is something special to see around the league. Mike Malone's a terrific coach in Denver. Where'd he start? Now, I know his dad's Brendan Malone, but guess where Brendan Malone was with a coach? With Jeff Van Gundy. understand that's where all this stuff comes from. And Tibbs made sure to talk about that when he talked about why this job means so much and what he learned here. Take a listen.
I was there throughout the 90s, and there was an incredible experience for me to be on that bench as an assistant coach and experience the finals. There's nothing like being in New York City at Madison Square Garden for big games. I also want to take this time to thank Jeff Van Gundy for hiring me in 1996 and for being a dear friend and an advisor for me. Those times during the 90s were really special. A lot of great teams, great players, players like Patrick Ewing, Allen Houston, Larry Johnson, John Starks, and many others made it a very enjoyable experience. I think when we look back at those teams, we saw how hard they played. They gave us everything they had each and every night. And just as important was the coaching staff that Jeff put together. It was one of the best staffs ever assembled. Guys like Brendan Malone and Don Chaney, Jeff Nix, Steve Clifford, Andy Greer, Mike Malone, many head coaches that are in the league today. But the best thing for me in terms of growth were the experiences we were able to share with each other. I look at the people that Jeff had worked for, and Jeff is an all-time great coach. He worked for Pat Riley, who I think the best. And then Don Nelson, Rick Pitino, John McLeod. Then you have Brendan Malone, who worked for Hubie Brown, and Chuck Daly. You had Don Chaney, who played for Red Auerbach and worked under Bill Fitch. You had Jeff Nix, who had worked for Digger Phelps. I had worked for Bill Musselman, Jerry Tarkanian. If you felt like you were going to the best clinic in the world every day. So it was tremendous growth.
I love that line. It felt like you were going to the best clinic. This is like Bill Parcells' staff.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like every day you were at the best clinic in the world, learning on a daily basis. You know, I didn't even mention Steve Clifford, a good friend of mine, who's now coaching in Orlando. Everywhere he goes as well. Like, he takes a lot of nothing and turns it into something. It's amazing the job that Cliff's done. And he was also on that staff. That's also part of this tree. You hear all those names he's talking about. But that's the whole point. Now, by the way, him also saying he thinks Pat Riley's the best that's ever done it.
Yeah.
It also says something about Tom Thibodeau, right?
Yeah.
So, look, there's the debate about, is this the right hire? You know, your last job is your last reputation. It's what everybody remembers. People are forgetting what happened in Chicago and all the success he had there because, well, look at what happened in Minnesota. It fizzled out real quick, and they got rid of him real fast. I remind you, when he left, they were two games out of a playoff spot, two, when they fired him. They are 36-70 since then. So just keep that in mind. He might be a tough coach to play for, but he gets results. And that is something that Leon Rose talked about on why he felt Thibodeau was the right man for the job.
As an agent, I've had clients and known many others who have played for Tom Thibodeau. They all have spoken highly of him and his coaching ability, especially how much they have improved under his leadership. Let me assure you, we did our due diligence during the coaching search. We were open-minded and heard from many diverse candidates with various coaching experiences and philosophies. The thoroughness of the search is what we felt the fans deserved. We wanted to get it right. Tom is the right person for the job, and we look forward to collaborating with him as we build a winning culture. I also want to thank Jim Dolan for his support and providing the resources over the past 5 months to allow me to assemble a diverse, well-respected, and extremely talented front office consisting of Scott Perry, William Wesley, Brock Aller, Walt Perrin, and Frank Zanin, among others. Today, with the hiring of Tom Thibodeau, we take the next step in building a strong organization to deliver you winning basketball. It is with great pleasure that I welcome you, Tom.
Now, Bart, let me remind you of something that I love talking about when it comes to New York teams, is that everybody except baseball has a salary cap.
Yeah.
And I've always said that there is no salary cap on your staff, on your coaching,
your
on scouting, on everything, on your infrastructure. You can spend as much as you want. right? And the smart teams like the Yankees, although there's no cap, they still have a luxury tax level.
The analytics department was twice the size of the Mets. And when Brody got there, the first thing he did was address that you have to have smart people influencing smart people.
And that's a great point. And I've always said this about the Knicks. People joke about how the Knicks have 100 people on the staff and no one does anything. You know, that's been a long joke throughout the NBA. They have a million employees and no one really does anything. But the first thing that Leon Rose has done since he has stepped in, I mean, right out of the gate, is he's bringing in, now you could say, well, he's bringing in more people, but you understand what he's doing. The hires that he has made is he's finding the best that the reputation-wise in the league. Walt Perrin. I mean, he's been 20 years doing the draft. What do the Knicks have over the next 5 years? A million first-round draft picks, mm-hmm. right? So get the best guy. Get the guy with the most experience on draft day who will put them in position and make sure they get the right people. Hired a couple of scouts, one of them who's an up-and-comer, who everybody's raving about, real smart kid. Aller is somebody that everybody, all the agents respect that guy. They all say the same thing, that he's a guy that behind the scenes really understands how to organize a franchise, financially, management-wise, all that stuff. And he's very much in charge. William Wesley, the most connected person that you'll ever find. I mean, this guy knows everybody. And you would think that it helps you with your relationships, which, as we know from this franchise, that's been an issue.
And your coolness, right?
Well, you want to say that part as well. Add that to it. That maybe he also, right, he gives you that. But now we get to the coach. And as he said, we got a winner. You got a guy who's won. He's a winner. The Timberwolves didn't make the playoffs for 13 years. He got them 47 wins and a playoff berth.
In the West.
Right? In the West with a pretty young team. So he had success there, but obviously we know what he did with the Bulls. The Bulls were an elite franchise while he was there, and everything fell off. And they also had a major injury to their superstar that they were able to endure. Now we'll see. As Scott Perry said, that Tom will have autonomy over who he picks for his coaching staff. Now, we all know that, you know, there's been some input from everyone about the coaching staff, so we'll see. Right. But this is going to be also interesting to see, though, Bart, is who he now adds to his coaching staff. As you just heard him earlier talk about how important the coaching staff that he grew up with Jeff Van Gundy, and how much that meant to him, having that smart and diverse of a coaching staff, an experience of a coaching staff to be around on a daily basis, how important that is to a franchise that doesn't have any stars right now. They don't have talent. Right. So you're going to need to have then, what do you always say? What's the most important thing the Jets need right now?
Teachers. You got to have teachers for young players to teach them how to play the game, because you don't have the peers around to school the young guys up, because everybody's a young guy trying to figure out how they're going to survive and thrive within this league.
You have to have teachers with a young roster. Now, a little bit later on, we'll get to what he said about some of the young players on this roster. And something that Tom said that I found was very telling about one player that all the fans want to know about that they have on this roster. And we'll do that a little bit later. But right now, one more thing, and then we'll get some calls in here. 800-919-3776.
My boy in his bag. Breathe, dog. Breathe.
Hey, we've been waiting for this, all right? We've been waiting for this. Last but not least, because what I said also leading into this hire was we'll kind of know what Leon Rose's plan is for the franchise based on the hire. Because if you went with Kenny Atkinson, you would say, okay, they're going to keep building through the draft. They're going to keep developing players. They're going to go the young route, because that would have been that's Kenny's expertise. But, you know, a guy like Tom, or a young coach, what if they went with one of the young coaches that they were talking to? You know, that would kind of suggest to you maybe they're going to stay that route.
Right.
But when you bring in somebody like a Tom Thibodeau, and you know his success is with vets, and he has a certain style that veteran players understand, they get it. Even Jimmy Butler has talked about it. I read his quotes the other day. Even Jimmy Butler has, you know, even though they had some friction, he also said, but I know he'll always have me prepared. I know how hard he works. And he falls out of a boat. But so now you hire Tom, and I think this was a great question. So what is the timeline now for the franchise? Yeah. And here's Leon's answer.
We have not set a timeline. We are taking it one day at a time. We felt that Tom was that coach that can take us from development to becoming a perennial winner. And as Tom said earlier, You know, that happens one step at a time. And at the moment, you know, we don't know exactly what the roster will be moving forward. We have decisions that we have to make. And, you know, but the important thing is to instill the culture, focus on the development, and take it from there.
So you have a very short off season because of the schedule. You're not going to have a lot of time. You have a lot of players who have opt-outs. You have opt-outs on. Remember, last year's group, they signed everybody to a 1+, so you can opt out just about everybody except your four young guys and Julius Randle. Awesome. So you basically, I mean, that's where you are. You really could change this whole thing. And Thibodeau said one of the reasons why he took the job was because of the cap space, mm-hmm. the youth on the roster, and all the opportunity here. You know, like there was a lot of opportunity to turn this thing around fairly quickly. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do in this short period of time with all those draft picks. That's what he said. He said draft picks, cap right. space means you have a lot of flexibility to rebuild the roster pretty quickly. So right. Leon's saying there's no timeline, but yet the coach kind of suggests
it's a sense of urgency.
Don't expect this to be a long rebuild.
Right. I mean, and to be noted that Tom had options because we know that he potentially was the front runner for the Knicks job. So you're looking at, you know, two potential Hall of
Nets
Famers.
Job, yeah.
Yeah, Nets jobs. Right. Your potential Hall of Fame, two Hall of Famers with the ability to add a third star. And the fact that he decided to say, you know what? I like this roster and this situation. He chose the Knicks. That's different. He chose the Knicks. He had other options that would have seemed more appealing to other people. But he said, you know what? I love this roster. I love that this is a blank, just piece of clay, and I can mold it exactly how I want to. You know, you can say whatever you want about Scott Perry and the staff and what they did. They left flexibility for the new man in charge. And it looks like, you know, he knows exactly what he wants, what's available, but he has the flexibility where he doesn't have to panic or rush because he's going to have the patience of the president so that he can make sure that he has opportunity, that he doesn't have to reach. That's the problem. That's a great point you just made.
There's nothing more important than what you just said right there. And that is the synergy. And they both talked about it. They both, one thing Tom said, that this group with Leon Rose, who we said, I haven't made a major decision in my life that didn't involve him.
Yeah.
You know, William Wesley, who's known, they've known each other for a very long time. And he thanked by name also, by the way, and you heard that just a minute ago. He said, these are people I enjoy being around.
Yeah.
You know, what was the issue in Chicago, Bart? Do you remember? His issue in Chicago was
management.
Friction with the front office.
Yeah, that's what it always is in Chicago, whether it's Phil Jackson or Tom Thibodeau. And, you know, it's the thing. You know what this reminds me of and what this organization, where it is, reminds me of? This reminds me of the San Francisco 49ers. People don't remember how dismal they were just 3 years ago.
John Lynch.
Yes, just three years ago. And it's like backwards, right? Because now they hired essentially John Lynch first, and he went and found his coach. But just imagine how bad and what a laughing stock the San Francisco 49ers were.
That's right.
Like getting beat down. And now
Jim Tomsula
farting at the mic. Now you have adults, and now you have an idea to say, okay, well, they got grown-ups. Not only do they have a grown-up in the front office, they got a grown-up at the CEO. That's a face that you can respect. You know that he's not going to embarrass you. You know he's not going to put a team or a product out there that's not prepared. You know his team's going to be tough, and they're going to be in shape. And when you start with defense first, offense second,
there's your foundation.
Your defense starts as offense. Hey, when I say, hey, what's a Nick? Now I know exactly what a Nick is supposed to be, and I know what a Nick is when I see him now. I know a Nick ain't a guy that's just jumping up shots and playing one side of the ball. I know a Nick's going to have to be a two-way player, an intelligent player, a versatile player, because that's what Tom Thibodeau teams have always been. It's one thing you can always bank yourself on, and that's toughness. And the fact that he's coming here, he's going to instill that. That's the brand. And it's going to take him a while to weed out the chumps, right? Because you never know, because everybody gets a clean slate. And this is what is expected of you, right? And if you don't live up to what's expected of you, you won't be here. And when Tom Thibodeau says it, it's different than Fizdale, the player's coach. You believe it because you've seen him put people and ship their ass out before they even get warm. So now that comes with instant credibility. So not only credibility for the team, but credibility around this league about what he stands for. Because he's been around so much, we know that he's not faking it. We know he is who he is. And I always said this as as a player. I don't care who you are or what your style is. All I want from my coach is honesty and what's expected of me. I don't want no games. We're all grown men. We all understand we're here to do a job. And if you don't do the job, then we're all – first they'll fire me as a player, but then they're going to fire the coach. And all the best coaches always known that they were linked with their stars and who they decide to bring in and who they associate themselves with. So in that case, we're all connected. So immediately, we're going to see who's going to earn the right. Right? See, because the Knicks have been doing something that great organizations don't do. Everybody gets a jersey. Everybody gets to wear that name. Now you got to earn the right to wear that Knicks jersey. You got to earn the right to make this roster. And now it's going to create an environment of competition, and that will attract – that will attract the big fish, baby. Because when they see competition going on, just like they saw competition going on across in Brooklyn, they saw the Nets. Like, people are like, man, I like the way they play. I don't know who the hell they are, but they scrappy little bunch, man. You know what? We can get rid of a couple players, but I'll go over there. You know what I'm saying? I can work with that type of environment. Culture, teaching, accountability. That's what the Knicks got today.
Are you excited? That's the simple question. 800-919-3776. They've had, what, 13 coaches change? I mean, they have a million coaches changes. We understand it.
He better not put Kurt Rambis on the staff.
They go through coaches every 2 years, it seems like, and there's been a lot of turnover. And every time there is, we want to say, hey, is this the guy to believe in? So I'll ask it again at 800-919-3776. Is Tom Thibodeau the guy that you can finally believe in? More Tom Thibodeau. I'll give you some of the Phillies news in a moment. Tibbs, see, this is the interesting part now because all fans want to know this. You hire a coach. The last reputation is some of the young players in Minnesota didn't really respond well to him. So he was asked, the Knicks current roster, as you know, I mean, they got a lot of work to do here. But they do have some players, especially young guys. They've had three lottery picks. Well, Dennis Smith Jr. is a lottery pick, so I guess four. And then on top of it, you have a second-round pick in Mitchell Robinson who's turned into a defensive standout. So, for Tom Thibodeau, who stands out on this roster?
Well, I'd say, you know, and again, I want to get around the players to work with them individually so I can get to know them better. But just based on film and what I've seen, I really think that RJ has a very bright future, as does Mitchell Robinson. So those are two that stand up. But I think we have a lot of young talent. And I don't like to make qualifications on people and until I get around them, and then they're starting with a zero base with me, and then we'll go from there.
All right, so he wants to get to know some of these guys, but he did tell you he's been watching film, a ton of it, of this past season, whatever you want to call it. And so he's trying to get to know players by watching them play. So you would think then that someone like Frank Ntilikina, who was drafted for defense, who's, again, you look at him and you think, well, this is a guy that's supposed to be a defensive stopper. Boy, you put him with Thibodeau. Thibodeau's got to be excited to work with this kid. But here's his response when asked specifically about Ntilikina and also Kevin Knox.
They're both young guys that have talent. And that being said, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not making any real observations or evaluations until I get to be around them. Like most young players, there's growing pains that you go through, and there's steps that players have to take. And sometimes we tend to measure guys against guys that are already established, and you forget the steps that those guys have taken to get to where they are. So I think that's an important part of it. But I think to understand how you do get there is by your work and your sacrifice and your commitment. I think one's determination and their perseverance is critical for their development.
What'd you hear there, Bart? Because I didn't hear a lot of enthusiasm.
Right.
I heard a lot of, I'll see.
Yeah, I heard that they're in the process, right? And, they're going through growing pains. I mean, he had Wiggins at a young age, right? So he's saying, hey, these guys are young. I'm not saying they're not talented. And the talent sets the floor, not the ceiling, though. The work and the commitment and the professionalism was what sets the ceiling. So he's saying, hey, man, listen, these guys can play, but I don't know much about them. And, quite frankly, where they are now, they're not good enough. But that doesn't mean they can't be good enough. And sometimes we look at guys like Giannis. We look at guys like, you know, Curry. These are guys that were built. C.J. McCollum. You know, these are guys that, you know, that didn't start off with, like Morant or, you know, like some of these other guys that come in the league and just set the league on fire. But look what they've turned into. And you don't give up on talent, but they got to earn their right on this roster and earn an opportunity to get minutes. And, you know, nothing's going to be given to anybody here. Now, I want to talk to them so that I can talk to them personally and give them my honest assessment. Because I already have an opinion about what I believe they are as basketball players, but I want to know who they are as people. And then see if we can grow from there. I can give them an opportunity and tell them what's expected of them and what we need for them, the markers we need them to hit to show growth and show that they're going in the right direction before we give up on young talent or trade our talent and then have them go be a star somewhere else because somebody unlocked, you know, those abilities.
He sounded a lot more enthusiastic about Mitchell Robinson than he did Frank Ntilikina. That's one thing I will say. He sounded a lot more enthusiastic about him. All right. Before we get to the calls, just quickly here, Jeff Passan on a baseball note, and we'll get into a lot more baseball in the next segment on Blitzer Prevent. We'll go through a lot of headlines in baseball. That'll be next. But just to update you right now, because there was some concern, as you know, the Marlins have been shut down after they played in Philadelphia. The Yankees did not play in Philadelphia. Instead, were rerouted to Baltimore, where they won last night. And so the Phillies so far had been testing negative, just in case, because they have had that contact playing against the Marlins. Well, the Phillies, according to Passan, have canceled workouts today because a coach and clubhouse attendant have tested positive for the coronavirus. So they've shut down activities, quote, until further notice, according to the team. The Blue Jays apparently are already saying that they will not be playing this weekend against the Phillies. So let's see, now that would make two teams that right now have been asked to. But those are the two teams that did play against each other. You see no other contact, you know, between them. So maybe you just, I got to isolate them, shut them down, keep the rest of the league going. That's the way this thing has to go. Again, more of this coming up in Blitzer Prevent. But let's get some calls. Jack in Morristown could start us off. Jack.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. A big fan of the show. I just want to say briefly that I don't think Thibodeau is a bad coach. I think he's actually a pretty good coach. But at the end of the day, Ntilikina is still playing like a scared rookie. And R.J. Barrett does nothing great. He does a lot of things pretty good. And I just think without talent, I don't care who coaches this team. Put Steve Kerr on there. You got to have Golden State East right now. So that's all I got to say. The Knicks will be garbage again. Thanks for taking my call.
You got to get talent.
Thanks for your positivity.
I was pretty much ignoring him at that point. But, you know, like, clearly, it doesn't matter who's coaching. You need talent.
Yeah.
Spike in New Jersey. Hey, Spike.
Okay, boys.
Go ahead.
I'm good.
All right, let's go.
I have a new coach and still have no players who can make a shot. R.J. Barrett, as much film and every dribble I've watched him in his career, he's a terrific body. He can get to the basket. The free throw shooting will improve. He's got a great motor. And his defense is really good. He can't shoot. Mitchell Robinson, I want to see some improvement. Go to Olajuwon or something, wherever you got to go. The rest of the roster, back up the truck. Listen, the first thing you got to do is get rid of Julius Randle because he'll last about 2 minutes in practice with Thibodeau.
Well, maybe that has to happen. But, you know, he and, you know, obviously Leon used to rep him, so there's a, you know, a close relationship there. How awkward, by the way, Bart, would that be?
Yeah.
I repped you. I was helping you get contracts, and now the first chance I have to own a team, I'm like, yeah, you're out.
You got
to
be bold, boys, because if you're not bold, you got no motor with Knox. I mean, he's just like you press on the gas going uphill, and, you know, it stalls. There's no motor. Great kid. He may be a catch-and-shoot guy on for 12 minutes, but you got two keepers, and we all know that.
They got a million guys on opt-outs, and they've got a short offseason to figure all this out. Thanks for the call, Spike. I mean, the one other thing that Scott Perry did reveal today is that they will have, I guess, a couple of weeks of OTAs, or at least they're hoping to.
Yeah.
They won't have a bubble with, you know, maybe some the summer league thing like I was hoping for. But it does sound like they're going to try to get at least where they can get 2 weeks where Tibbs can be in the gym with the players and, you know, work them through stuff. And that'll be a good chance for him to see who's got it and who doesn't. right, on the floor. You can watch a couple of guys, and then he can go right to Leon and go, get this guy off my team. It might go that way. So, you know, we'll see. James in Spring Valley. James?
Hey, guys, what's going on, man? Before all these Knicks fans, like, oh, my God, this guy, this isn't that. We need talent. We need talent. And he's been preaching this. The only way I can see the Knicks actually doing well and having a coach that can – That doesn't get fired after 2 years is having talent. And hopefully, and I'm saying hopefully, this is the start of not just acquiring talent, but also what about developing talent? And also, Alan, how can the Knicks develop talent? Because it's not just so much getting the best free agents. It's about developing your own talent so that when free agency sees, I want to play with that guy. I want to play with that guy. Then you can see the Knicks change.
You got to get one of those kind of talents. You don't have it yet. Thanks, James. I mean,
talking about a LeVert, a Dinwiddie. You know what I mean? We've seen it happen right across town.
I don't think anybody was running to the Nets to play with LeVert or Dinwiddie. I mean,
No. What I'm saying is,
showed you that you could take a player and make him something. Yeah, D'Angelo Russell was a great example of that too. Like, you could make a player something. I think that's what's going to be important about RJ. You know, and I think Mitch is a guy that is going to be the most compelling because, you know, Tibbs can turn him into a beast defensively, and then you can get other guys that are like, I want a guy like that back there because, like, Tyson Chandler was exactly what Melo needed.
Right.
Because it kind of like, all right, I don't know, if I get beat, he's covering me. And Tyson used to cover for him all the time. Like, you got to have guys like that around that can help players who might not be that good defensively, man. So, you know, remains to be seen. We're going to have to audible here. There it is. Because we were about to do a great baseball blitzer prevent right now, but we've got a lot of calls. Fans want to react to Tom Thibodeau, the press conference earlier today. We played you all the audio, or the most compelling audio anyway, in my opinion. Earlier in the show, broke it down, got a few calls in, and all of a sudden, boom, phone lines just exploded. So we want to give you that opportunity to be a voice in this. So I will just quickly just give you some of the topics, because we aren't going to get a lot of time with baseball today, but obviously DeGrom pitches brilliantly last night. Does have one little hiccup, but other than that, because his scoreless innings, he went to 31 consecutive scoreless innings before finally giving up a run on a couple of, I believe it was back-to-back
pass
doubles.
Balls, man.
But still, you know, the bullpen, once again, the security blanket that is Seth Lugo even doesn't come through for you. And even though you score 5 runs for DeGrom, you should win that game. So you want to complain about 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position and stranding 11 all you want. But still, 5 runs should have been damn enough, and it wasn't. Yeah. So, you know, DeGrom, once again, no decision. Yankees destroying the Orioles in Baltimore shouldn't be interesting to anybody. But just keep an eye on the Gerrit Cole, Gary Sanchez relationship, because they did have a little bit of discussion in the dugout. It was animated, but afterwards Cole praised Gary Sanchez. Remember, you know, everybody, you know, Randy Johnson wouldn't throw to Jorge Posada. We know Noah Syndergaard obviously had troubles with Ramos. It's just something to keep an eye on there. You know, the Marlins situation is that the MLB is now looking into it and want to see what led to this. Something happened massively disruptive to the process, according to Joel Sherman. So they're looking into it, and there's all different things, including the team was on the road, that the Marlins traveling party after a Tuesday night exhibition game against the Braves, maybe they violated some of the protocols. What do you think? and then the Joe Kelly thing, which we didn't get till after the show, 8 games for him. And I'm telling you, we can be outraged all we want. It was because he threw behind his head. If hit him in the ass, nobody would have said a word. Nobody.
Exactly. I mean, right. And then he didn't hit him. That's what I don't get. I mean,
it doesn't matter. What they don't want is just to become a thing now. Yeah. I still think you can talk trash to him. I still think you could probably hit him, you know, if you hit him in the hip, back, whatever it is. Yeah. But the throwing at the head, they've got to do something about that. All right, Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data than 2G for up to 50% less than the big carriers, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at TradeTalk.com. All right, calls, 800-919-3776. Let's go rapid fire as best we can. Anyone we don't get, obviously after Sam Rosen, we will get to you because we want to talk some hockey on this show as well. So let's go to Talon in Florida. Talon.
Yo, what's going on, Alan? First time, long time. What's going on? Yo, you're actually the reason I started following Twitter, because I was trying to get that scoop when you was the beat writer. But JETS, just. What's going on, brethren? Alan.
Yes.
I'm kind of upset with you, this narrative I feel like you keep trying to push, that that Tom Thibodeau, for some reason, can't coach young players, or that for some reason that when he comes in here, he's either going to get rid of some of these young assets, or we're going to get rid of, we're going to start getting rid of some of these draft picks that we have. Tom Thibodeau's not done nothing but coach young players. You forget that whole entire team in Chicago was
Derrick
young.
Rose, Derrick Joakim Rose, Noah. Young, Gibson, Dang, you're not wrong. Jimmy Butler. Noah. You're not wrong. You know what I'm doing there, Talent? I just want you to know what I'm doing is I'm repeating a narrative that is out there right now because Tom's reputation was tarnished after Minnesota because of the Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns stuff, especially Wiggins, and everybody now says that. Oh, he can't coach young players. He's going to drive people into the ground. He's going to ruin players. So I'm just asking that question because there's a lot of people that aren't happy about that. Do I think it? Absolutely not. I know Tom Thibodeau. There's no way I think that. I know what he did in Chicago, and people forgot what he did there. He will burn guys out, though. Some young players don't like to be coached that way. So you've got to get him the right players who fit the way he wants to play and his style of coaching talent. Appreciate the call. And thanks for the input. Jimmy's in Staten Island. Jimmy.
Fellas, what's going on? Good afternoon. I want to talk about Tom Thibodeau real quick in regards to, I love his resume. You know, you touched on topics of the fact of, you know, he burns guys out. But I think that is honestly going to start with the draft. And being that it's a short offseason, I honestly think that, you know, they're going to have to make this pick. And they're going to have to, you know, figure out whether they're going to trade it or they're going to, you know, because they have the right guys. They have the R.J. Barrett. But Nila Kleiner, he has to go. You know, I love him.
See.
I think he's a good –
We're going to see, Jimmy. And I'll tell you what, the pick is also August, I think, was it 20th is the lottery?
Yeah.
And we're going to find out, Bart, if that falls in the top five, now all of a sudden,
If that's LaMelo, do you trade him for Chris Paul straight up and then have to carry that salary?
Well, you're not trading a first. You're not trading a lottery pick for Chris Paul. You're taking their salary, so you don't have to give them a first-round pick. But – you know, if you're going to get somebody of a higher caliber, a younger star, if one becomes available, everybody's, you know, we talked about Donovan Mitchell. Other people are bringing up Devin Booker. You know, that might now, if that's outside the top five, it's not really a deep draft. Would you do it if that's a young star? So a lot of stuff to keep an eye on. And that's why I want to see if he does get to work with some of these young guys in the gym, if the league allows it. Kashi's in the cab. Kashi.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for you. Are they going to allow the coach to do the shopping and they could just sit back and cut the check?
No.
Or are they going to
be shopping? You mean for players? For players?
Yeah, for players.
I don't think so. This is going to be a collaboration, baby. Leon Rose was the agent. He's used to signing talent, and William Wesley is the ultimate backdoor guy. You know, I think there's going to be a collaboration about how they see building this team together. Because this thing, Leon's not going to sit back and allow a coach to control his narrative. And because if it doesn't work out, he's a first-time general manager. He'll never get another shot. So if you're going to go down, you're going to go down having some type of input on the type of team and players that you want on the team as well.
Let me grab one more real quick. Ryan in Long Island. Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan, first-time caller. I just wanted to say I'm obviously a Knicks fan, I feel good about this move. What I really appreciate about, you know, Thibodeau is that he brings identity to the Knicks. I'm not mad if they go after another veteran or if they're trying to pick up somebody in free agency, but the biggest thing is I feel optimistic about my Knicks. I feel good because we have direction now. We have a little bit of hope. There was only one way to go up from here, and that's up. And I feel really good about the move. I'm very happy we got him on board. Last caller, you know, he brought up if we're gonna cash checks and whatnot. I'm just happy with this first move. I'm happy with the first step.
First step's the most important step, and thanks, Ryan, for the call. And again, getting as many talented people in the front office as you can, the best of the best. That's what I think I wanted Leon Rose to do. Spend whatever it takes to get the best so that you have an infrastructure of people who can get this franchise where it needs to be. But it always matters what's on the court, and that's going to be the hardest part, is getting talent on the court that then will result in wins. But if you have the right people around all of that, you start to get the right feeling that the franchise is heading in the right direction, and that's the question now. Are they heading the right direction? They believe so with Tom Thibodeau. They bring in a winning coach. A guy has won with experience, and I also said at the top of the show, what's also important, he's got blood in the ground. He's from this area. He grew up a Knicks fan, and 7 years an assistant with Jeff Van Gundy. So he knows what New York's about. He's wanted this job, and he's got it. Let's get to some stuff that we haven't been able to touch on yet in Audio Files.
The Audio File.
First and foremost, so as we talked about, Joe Kelly got the 8 games from Major League Baseball for throwing behind. Are you okay? Alex Bregman, after a 3-0 pitch. Wow. This was on Tuesday. It got all, you know, everybody got all hot and bothered, yelling at each other. Correa was talking. Kelly. Everybody loved Kelly and the meme of him making the pouty face and all the smack talking going on. And we were like, yeah, good. The Astros are going to remember that. We all hate them. And then Major League Baseball said, yeah, but don't throw at people's heads. Buster, only on the suspension from GetUp.
This was an enormous suspension within the context of a 60-game season. It's the equivalent of a 21-game suspension in a 162-game season. Relievers in these type of instances typically get 2 to 5 games. And last night, the Dodgers were absolutely out of their minds, angry about this. They thought it was unfair because Kelly didn't actually hit either Alex Bregman or Carlos Correa. They were upset with the fact that Dave Roberts got a game and Dusty Baker didn't, despite the fact that Baker was yelling at Kelly during the course of that inning. But I think from Major League Baseball's perspective, if we look back at all the sign-stealing stuff dating back 2017, the biggest mistake that Rob Manfred made back during the Apple Watch situation, Yankees-Red Sox, he didn't come down with the hammer of discipline that altered behavior. This was designed to alter behavior. They're sending the message, look, we're not going to stand by as everybody takes shots at the Astros.
What do you think of it? 8 games.
It's excessive, and I think they expect him to appeal it, and he's going to get lesser than that. But the message is sent that, hey, we won't tolerate this. Remember Dusty Baker and the Astros were crying, saying, hey, you know, these teams are targeting us before, mm-hmm. before this thing even really started in spring training. You know what I mean? They were saying that. And, you know, what happens is now teams are going to have to get a little bit, can't be as obvious with it. Maybe hit them at like it's a wild pitch, hit them on the thigh, hit them on the butt, throwing at the head. You know, and I think the biggest thing that they want to deter are the benches clearing, because then you have a bunch of people that we're supposed to be doing social distancing, and they get in these arguments and start yelling at each other, then maybe something can happen that way. So I think it was more about the visual of them standing up and getting into each other's faces more than anything.
They're saying, the people that are mad are saying that you're protecting the Astros who are cheating. Like, it's like you're defending the Astros. Bart, I feel like this. And as much the other day, I loved it. I felt like that was great. Good. We need to see more of this. It was good. We got to talk about that more than we talk about COVID. It was important for baseball because it was an emotional moment everybody wanted to talk about. However, don't be mad at baseball. You threw it at his head. You shouldn't throw it at his head. But be mad at the union, because the union is the one that really defended these players and got them the immunity that they wanted so they would speak during that investigation.
Yeah.
You know, there's no accountability there. So if you're a player, be mad. Be mad at the union. That's all. You want to be mad at somebody, be mad at the union. That's as simple as that. Be mad because those guys got protection because they asked for immunity, and then they were going to tell you what they knew. Okay, fine. So where's the retribution? Strike them out. You can still talk trash. Ain't nobody going to stop you from talking trash. Just let them know. And if occasionally you want to hit somebody in the hip, hit them in the hip.
Yeah, game's out of line. Either, you know, we got an insurmountable lead, or, you know, we can't catch them. Yeah, what's wrong with
that? But don't throw it heads, because then it becomes a thing where more and more people are doing it. Then, you know, you just don't want to turn it into that. I think that was the part that baseball had to say, no, look, you want to throw at his butt or throw at his back, fine, don't throw at his head. All right, next up. This is a big story going on in your sport right now in the NFL. Marcus Spears on Golic and Wingo. What's happening now around the league, and we're seeing it more and more, Nate Solder of the Giants being one of them, are players opting out? So here's Spears' take on that.
I must say I've been a bit surprised, but not like to the point of being taken back, right? And obviously you see Damian Williams, running back from Kansas City, opt out. And this is what this is something that I thought could potentially happen, because if you look at most of these guys, it's not them making decisions about themselves. And, like, guys, we got to be honest. That's the scary part about this virus. It is your transmission of it to somebody that can't fight it. Obviously, Solder had cancer in his history, in his kids' history. And it's a lot of guys that's having to weigh this against the risk of not only immunity, but their immune systems and all of that being prepared to handle this while playing a professional sport with that history.
Now, you've got six players from the Patriots. I already told you about Nate Solder of the Giants, Marquise Goodwin of the Eagles. You know, there's a number of players. Chance Warmack. You got a number of players that have decided to opt out because of the virus. They have that right to do that for this season. Does it surprise you?
It doesn't, because it's a lot of underlying health issues with a lot of players. You know, a lot of players have, you know, diabetes. You know, I play with players that give themselves insulin shots, asthma, severe allergies. You know, it's a lot of guys that have a lot of ailments, that have underlying conditions. Some guys have, you know, heart issues. You know, I played with all kinds. Sickle cell, you know, playing with Santonio Holmes, sickle cell anemia. You think about Ryan Clark that has the trait. You know, so I think it's a lot of that. And then, of course, you know, we all know that, you know, football players have a lot of kids. So a lot of them don't want to endanger their children as well. You know, you hear that as an excuse. No, not an excuse, as a reasoning for a lot of guys opting out. Because, you know, one, I forgot what player it was that said his wife had six miscarriages, and now that, you know, they finally had a kid and they don't want to put him at risk like that. So it's one of those things, man, where it's going to be tough, man. We're going to see, you know, it's a second pool of players that are out of the NFL trying to get in. We'll see how seriously they want to be in, because there's going to be opportunities in that secondary free agent market to try and fill some of these voids. And I don't know, man. You have to ask yourself, is this league going to have an asterisk? You know what I mean? You think about Everson Griffin. You think about Logan Ryan. You think about Jadeveon Clowney. It's a lot of talented players out there that's going to fill the void. The good thing is that they're allowing the guys to leave, and they don't have to carry the team. Don't have to carry their salary for the salary cap. So it gives the team flexibility trying to fulfill the roster.
Last but not least, on Audio Files, so you remember the Lou Williams story. As he left the bubble, he got permission to leave the bubble, wanted to attend a funeral of someone close to him that had passed away. He did, and while there, someone happened to catch him at a club and took a picture and put it on social media. Took it down right away, but too late. You know how it is with social media. Once it's up there, it's up there. And so the league, of course, found out about it, so they put him into a longer quarantine. And he said that he went to this club because of the wings. And everybody, of course, laughed, because who goes to a strip club for wings? Then you found out it was Magic City, and now everybody's learning that, no, you go there for the wings. And Bart Scott has told us all on these airwaves that, yeah, that's literally what you do. Like, there's really good wings at these places. You need to know this.
Trizzle.
Yeah, so that's now become a thing. In fact, it's become such a thing around the NBA that Kevin Harlan, during a TNT broadcast, did discuss this topic.
I want to see how much pull we have in the city of Atlanta. See if we can get some of those chicken wings sent down here to Orlando.
Oh, no, you didn't.
We could celebrate. We could celebrate the restart with those wings.
Bart, I'm on a mission. Magic City needs to franchise now. This is the opportunity.
Yes.
Franchise now. Get to New York.
and also, you know, I mean, all he had to do was add Reggie laughing. Reggie, you've been to Magic City. Don't front, man.
Like he doesn't know.
Yeah, don't act. He's like, ha, ha. Meanwhile, they got his jersey hanging from the Raptors. They retired it. OG, triple OG, Reggie. The Boom Boom Special. They call it the Reggie Miller. Don't choke. Don't choke in the Boom Boom Room.
I really need to try these wings now.
Phrasing?
Have
field
not.
Trip. Field trip.
I got to admit. I mean, I've definitely had, experiences in Atlanta.
I told you.
I have not had the Magic City experience, and I can't believe it.
I told you Sin City has closed down in the Heights. They can bring Magic City 2.0 up here. And we can have a dancer exchange program where, like, we send some of ours from up in the Heights down there, and then we take some of the Southern Peaches and the Southern Bells and bring them up here. And we kind of mismatch. It's called building bridges, man. Listen, nobody's ever really left from a strip club without a smile on their face. And they give all their money away, and you still leave with a smile on your face. You broke.
You walk out broke, and you still somehow. That was fun.
Except, of course, Varsity Blues.
Hey, the crazy.
You open the door. And who everybody has had that experience where you open the door and the sun is splatting. You're like, damn.
Hey, you know the crazy thing
I've
is?
I've been in here that long.
The crazy thing.
Everybody has had that.
The crazy thing is when your wife looks at the credit card bill, when you get those cash advances and it don't say strip club, it says like some type of restaurant. You're like, what kind of restaurant would you at that you spent $5,000? Like, oh, you know, they had that, you know, that those truffles that Oprah be talking about? I had two of them, baby.
Prestige Restaurants Incorporated. It's always something like that. Tom Thibodeau, officially named head coach of the Knicks today, had a Zoom press conference. It was a little different, but Leon Rose, Scott Perry, and Tom on the call with reporters. And Bart, as we started out the show, we just went over some of the stuff that we felt was the most compelling, most interesting that he had to say. Now, for everybody listening, Tom Thibodeau will be a guest on the K-Show at 3:30. So keep it obviously right here, and you can hear their conversation, their interview with him. But just quickly, dream job for him. Remember, he spent 7 years under Jeff Van Gundy as an assistant coach. He just spoke glowingly about that experience. Yeah, a guy from Connecticut who grew up loving the Knicks. He said for him, it's just special. I do think, and I know I said this, but I didn't get your take on it. Where they are right now as a franchise, they've been through a lot of guys. You heard me say this in the open, how it's everybody that had the job was like, I'm built for this. I can handle this. And then it's like, you people are crazy. And they all, you know, they all went out the door. I do think the Chris Canty blood in the ground phrase was important right now for the Knicks. You needed someone. And they had a bunch of guys they interviewed, not just Tom, but they did have Kenny Atkinson and Woodson, who also have that background here. But I do think you needed someone like this with a resume and also blood in the ground, experience, a job that's personal to him. I do think that's important.
Yeah, because you have to get it right, because you had a lot of guys that said they had, you know, they had, you know, the grit to be part of this market, but they found out they didn't. You needed somebody that has already proven that they had the grit to coach in this market, because you have an opportunity to change the narrative with all the salary cap space that you have, with all the draft equity you have. And if you bring somebody in here and they mess up all the work that you've done over the years, then you have to work forever to try and get it back. Remember how long it was before when the Knicks didn't have any draft picks. They already had traded their first round draft pick or their future draft pick. Now you have that where you can slide up. You have opportunities where you can make trades and move up and down the board, be able to get, you know, you can be Atlanta for a while. You can take bad contracts and just to get more picks, acquire more picks and more players and do things that way, right? So now they have flexibility. They have options, which is the greatest thing to have in life is options. You want to make sure you have somebody that can get it right and not really, you know, squander all the good equity and all the good, you know, resources and cap space that you have. And the fact that you said, hey, you know, get one that got blood in the ground, so to speak, like you said. Well, you got two because we anticipate that Woodson's going to be hired, you know, with him as well. So then maybe you can get two. So, I mean, two is better than one. I mean, Kidd was, it was good because Kidd had played here. But you got somebody that's been a proven coach that's been in the game for a long time. Kidd's been a coach for a short period of time, a blink of an eye, and comparison to Tom Thibodeau, so which you understand, Tom has been in all types of different situations. He's dealt with all different types of teams. You're paying him for his experience, to, you know, and who knows how long it lasts, right? Maybe he's here to set everybody straight. Maybe he's Larry Brown. He's going to fix the wrong, get everybody in line, and then maybe Woodson takes it to the finish line. But you know he's here to set the great foundation, and he's going to get great coaches. I want to be sure and make sure that he gets a couple coaches that may be outside of what he would normally do. Is talk about diversity, get some young guy that's a young budding star in the coaching realm so that he can bring him here, teach him, but also have bright minds with different perspectives.
I think that's a very important part of it, and they have talked about how they want to have that diverse kind of staff. All right, 800-919-3776. Jonathan in Queens been holding a while. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, yeah, I waited a while, but it's always worth it to talk to you guys. So first of all, I wanted to say it's a great hire. I love the move, especially the fact that he's just hired as the coach, because obviously we saw what he gave up for Jimmy Butler when he was with Minnesota, and that just didn't work out well for them at all. But anyway, I just want to say to all the callers talking about the Knicks needing talent, it's very obvious, but you don't really put a roof up on a building before you build its foundation.
And if you look over the last 7 years, like, we've been actually getting our draft picks and up, unlike the decade prior to that where we're trading it all up. So, you know, a few of those ping pong balls go your way, you land someone like a Williamson, a Young, a Morant. And, you know, look at the pieces we have now. And if you add that right player, like a LaMelo Ball, I'm thinking, to that, you're looking at a whole different squad and a team with a lot of assets. And I was just curious, touching up on that, do you guys think Tibbs has the view of he wants to win here now? Or can he sit around and deal with not being successful at first as these guys develop? Thanks, good, guys, for taking the call.
You got it, Jonathan. It's a good question. And from what he sounded like, he's like, I don't want to skip steps. I don't want to, like, you know, he was saying the right things about how it's a process that you have to build your team towards something. That's, you know, that's nice, but you still have to show success. And I think with Fizz, you know, he talked the same way. And the problem with Fizz is that he couldn't get them the win, which, you know, if you're at least competitive, people will, okay, all right, I see they're doing, you got to give them something tangible. And I think Tom, with the way he coaches, that foundation of defense, which defense travels well, right, Bart? You know that better than anybody. You did it up in Foxborough. If you have that foundation, you're competitive every night, regardless of whether you lack enough talent to outscore a team or to be able to come up big in the clutch. You got to get the talent to help you over the top. But if you have that foundation and you and people can see it, that's tangible progress. That's a team that's got something going. Then I think you have that patience in a rebuild. But I don't think they're going to be around here to win 20 games a year for a couple of years. I do not think that's part of this plan. Jay in the Bronx. Jay.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Quick question. With all this draft capital, it's a two-part question that the Knicks have. First, how do you guys feel about LaMelo Ball fitting? I feel like the organization might go with Halliburton, kind of a defensive player, kind of fits with them. And secondly, like, what do you think is too much capital to give up if we have to move up to get Melo? Thank you.
You got it. I don't know if you'd be able to trade up because it would cost you a ton. It all depends on where you land. LaMelo feels like he'd be good for New York, but Killian Hayes, the more I watch and the more I think, for a guy like Tibbs, could be fantastic. Halliburton's just got a funky shot, but he's a really smooth player. But Bart, I mean, it all depends on where you land in the lottery.
Yeah, I guess I forgot you've been deep in your prep, making you over-prepared. Yeah,
the draft's not for another 3 months, and I'm so deep into this thing.
You deep into your prep, man. I don't know, man. I just like the whole LaMelo Ball. It seems like some kids were built to be here, to play here.
That's awesome.
I mean, he's been under the cameras as the youngest brother of three, already has a professional brother in the league. He's played professional basketball already because he didn't go to college. I think he's ready. He's dealt with the pressure of being underneath his father. You know what I mean? I think he's ready to go, man. I talk about a 6'8 point guard could be like a Penny Hardaway, Hardaway, being able to facilitate, run with Mitchell Robinson. Being able to have some type of Lob City 2.0 type of thing going. Mm. I mean, yo, that can be some exciting basketball, as well as making them defensively responsible as well. And if you have a show like that where he's running down, he's throwing these lobs, and R.J. Barrett's playing the wing, and he's pulling it up a little bit too, that will attract people because it's a style of play that's exciting, and it'll have the garden rocking.
You want to see some of you want to see now the development that comes from here. All right, you'll get Tom Thibodeau 3:30 on the K Show, so keep it right here. Also tonight on MSG, 7 o'clock for the press conference, and also Bill Pito with Tom as well. For us, we'll see you tomorrow, Bart.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.